Well, I want to welcome you wherever you might be joining us from, whether you're right here at our Bethel campus or online or from our Powell campus, and I want to wish all of you a very happy new year. Can you believe it is 2020? We are living in the future, and this is a great time to be alive, a great time to be in the church, a great time to experience what God has for us. And so we're at the beginning of this new year, and we're actually beginning a new decade as well. And when I think about the possibilities, I love the turning of a page of a new year. This idea for a new chance to start fresh, to start again. All the Christmas and holidays are behind us, and the days are starting to get longer again. And we have this hope and this optimism for what the year can hold. And so we're beginning a new series today called Focus 2020. Focus. How do we focus on what God has for us? And when you think about what a year entails, what is possible in 365 days? And I know we imagine what could be, and maybe in times past you've thought about things that you wanted to accomplish, but then weren't able to pull them through. But imagine in 365 days, you could spend this year, and you could learn a new language by the end of the year. You could easily lose 10 or 20 pounds or more. You could save $1,000 or maybe $5,000 or maybe more if you really got intentional and went after it. You could learn a new skill. You could learn a new hobby. You could read at least 12 books if you said, I'm going to read a book a year. All kinds of possibilities that we have. You might fall in love if you're not married or you have interest in someone. And who knows, you might even be engaged or married by the end of the year. So many things can happen in 365 days. What might God want to do in your life? And not only are we starting a new year, we're starting a new decade. What's possible in 10 years? Where might you be in 2030? And it's almost hard to imagine because we sometimes can't plan that far out, but so many things could take place. In a book that Malcolm Gladwell wrote called Outliers, he actually says that he talks about the 10-year, 10,000-hour principle. And it's this, that anyone who is basically an expert in their field, whether a musician or an artist or an athlete or someone in their professional world, that they have spent 10,000 hours with deliberate practice on a certain skill. 10,000 hours, that's 3 hours a day, 7 days a week for 10 years. So if you wanted to become an expert in something, you could do that in 10 years. Now, we're not here to talk about how you can become an expert artist, musician, or athlete, but we want to talk about what could happen with intentionality. And as Malcolm Gladwell says, it takes deliberate focus, deliberate practice. And so when we talk about Focus 2020, look at your year. What do you imagine this year could be? And a couple things we want to look at is, could you imagine this year experiencing a deeper faith? Can you imagine yourself having more financial freedom? What about being more fit? What about having richer friendships? Well, God's Word guides us in all of these ways, and these are some of the things that we want to talk about as we look at this year. But the key is that we need to get focused. And something you're going to hear throughout this series is that focus determines direction. And direction determines your destination. Focus determines direction, and direction determines your destination. And we see that in different times, even when you're driving, right? And somebody says, keep your eyes on the road. Why? Because if you keep your eyes on what's on the side of the road, that's where your car is going to go. Or in sports, keep your eyes on the ball so that you can hit the ball. Focus is so important to knowing where we're going, where we are heading. If you get focused on the right things, you'll end up in the right places. That's such an important principle. If you get focused on the right things, you'll end up in the right places. And isn't that how we want to approach this year? I want to focus on what God has for me. I want to end up in some great places. And so many times that we lack focus. And we kind of begin and we just simply say we have kind of vague hopes and vague dreams. And that's like having a blurry vision. We say, you know, I'd like to lose some weight. I'll start soon. I hope I'll be able to. And then what we realize is with that vagueness, with that uncertainty, with that unclarity, we're not going to get to where we need to go. So how can we get focused? And that's what I want to spend time with today and in this series. And our key verse for the series is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And here's what it says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There's a focus statement right there, isn't there? And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that, focusing on Jesus today. But let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who authors our faith, and he perfects it. He's there from the beginning to the end. And so how can we fix that gaze on Jesus? And when we focus on Jesus in all these different areas in our lives, through his word and through the community of the church and through others and through prayer, he's going to guide our lives and get us into the places that we need to go. And so today, to begin, like I said, I want to begin with our focus on faith. Focus on faith. It's a new year. I believe you're here today because you want God to do something in your life. As you look at 2020, how can you approach this year as a year with a renewed desire to experience God in a rich way? To have faith renewed and alive and to say, God, I want to know you're real and you're calling me to do more and I want to experience more with you. So let's focus on faith today. I want to begin with a word of prayer, and I ask you to join in this prayer, to just open your hearts to say, God, I want you to speak into my heart today. Give me this focus and this clarity that I need from you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin this year together on this first Sunday of the year, and we look ahead to all the possibilities of what can happen throughout the year, God, we want to go with you. And today, as we focus on faith, Lord, we just want to open our hearts, and we come with open hands and open hearts. Speak into us. Where are you calling us? How are you calling us to keep our eyes on you, God? Speak. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. To help us focus on faith, and what I see in a story of really keeping our eyes on Jesus, I want to look at a key story in Peter's life, a key moment in Peter's life. Peter was one of the disciples. He was called by Jesus. He was a fisherman. And one day Jesus said to Peter, come and follow me. And he left his nets and he left his life of fishing and began to follow Jesus. And he was a very impulsive man, as we read through Scripture. And he would rush into things and he would act first and think later. And so there's a quality of Peter that we just love. And we pick up some stories in Matthew where Jesus was with his disciples and he wanted to get away. And so he got on the boat with his disciples and he got to one side of the lake and all of a sudden crowds were just following him. And tons of people came and it says there were 5,000 men plus women and children and he taught them long into the day when it was evening that they were hungry. And the disciples said, Jesus, you need to send these people home because they're hungry and they got to get food. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. You give them something to eat. And they said, well, we don't have anything. And he said, Jesus said, well, what do you have? And he said, well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus blessed it. And he prayed over the food and it began to multiply. And it began to multiply and more and more. And the disciples were part of passing out and just had this privilege of feeding these thousands and thousands of people. And then at the end, there were even leftovers. And it was just this unbelievable experience. A moment that probably just grew their faith and stretched the possibilities of their imagination unlike anything they had seen before. And so the evening came, and finally Jesus was saying, look, I never actually got away to have some time alone. He sent his disciples ahead and said, you guys go back across the lake, and Jesus found a quiet place to pray. Well, as the disciples, these experienced fishermen, were going through we're on the lake, and we're out there in the middle of the night. It says at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the dead of night, the darkest part of the night, in the coldest part of the night, a fierce storm arose, and they were frightened. So for fishermen who were on the seas to be frightened, it had to have been quite a storm. And while they're out there, and while they're terrified, they said they saw something approaching them. And they thought it was a ghost, and they actually said, it's a ghost. And the reality was it was Jesus. And Jesus said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, I'm here. And in the confusion and all this, we pick up the story now of Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Then Peter called him. Remember, he's seeing out there. They're not sure if it's a ghost or not. He says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. This is a remarkable story. And maybe you're hearing this and you're saying, I don't know, that's hard for me to imagine, hard for me to picture Jesus walking on the water and then Peter getting out of the boat and he's walking on water. I mean, what happened in this moment is just truly remarkable. And what we have here is an image of faith in Peter, that he was just probably so overcome in what he just seen, what he had just witnessed with the feeding of the 5,000. Here's Jesus and he says it's him and he's on the water. He's being stretched beyond his belief of what's possible. And he says, Jesus, if it's really you, call me to step out and walk on the water towards you. What I love is this was Peter's idea. It wasn't Jesus' idea saying, Peter, come to me. Peter was saying, I want to step out. I want to try this. I want to experience this. And if it's really you, which is a key phrase here, right? If it's really you, it has to be Jesus calling. So he steps out of the boat. Now, for a fisherman to step out of the boat is kind of crazy, right? For fishermen, they spend their life in the boat. The boat represents comfort. The boat represents security. The boat represents life from death on the other side. It represents dry and warm from wet and cold. The goal of a boat is to stay inside of it. It's why it has walls. It's why we don't want boats to leak. And so we stay in that boat. It is security and it is safety. But there was something about Peter that wanted to break out. A fisherman to step over what is known and what is comfortable for himself. He wanted more in this life. And I think when we talk about faith and we approach 2020, don't you want more? Don't you want to experience a life of faith where you see God doing the miraculous and in the impossible around you, where you see him moving in lives and changing opportunities right in front of you, working in the lives of people, working in our church? We long for a life of faith to experience the supernatural. And so many times we just settle for the mundane and the comfortable and the routine. Peter wanted more. So he focused on Jesus. He focused on his voice. Jesus, if it's really you, call me and tell me to come for you, come to you. And so we need to learn to dial into Jesus' voice. How do we listen to Jesus' voice? You might say, how do I focus on Jesus? I don't even see him. I don't know him. Well, we have his word. The Bible is such a key way in which we dive into God's word and we focus on him and we hear him speak to us through his word. He speaks to us when we pray and we listen to his Holy Spirit and guiding us, when he's nudging us and prompting us. We experience fixing our eyes on Jesus when we're around other people and in small groups or in Christian community and we're hearing from others' experiences and they're encouraging us or mentoring us or when we're helping others. There's so many ways in which God speaks and we can focus on Jesus and what he's calling us to do. And in this moment, Peter steps out and he walks towards Jesus. Now, many times when we hear the story, the focus comes quickly on, well, the waves came and Peter lost his faith and even Jesus challenged him, why do you have so little faith? Because we know the reality is the storms are around us, the discouragement is around us, things are wanting to keep us off focus, and all of a sudden the reality of what is, the limitations of what's around us, all of a sudden Peter realizes, what am I doing? I'm outside of a boat, I'm on water, there's waves, there's storms, it's 3:00 in the morning, this is crazy, this is insane, what was I thinking, asking Jesus and stepping out, and all of a sudden our focus comes on what is, not on what could be when we focus on Jesus. He's wanting us to keep our eyes and look past what's in front of us so that we can imagine something different and to guide us into a different future. And the beauty of this moment is even when Peter begins to sink and he sees all the struggle around him, what does he do? He doesn't clamber back for the boat. He calls out. He still focuses on Jesus. And he says, save me, Lord. Save me, Lord, he says. And we read here, it said, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? But Jesus grabbed him. Jesus saved him. And Peter is the only one of the disciples that could ever say that he walked on water. What do you think this experience in Peter's life did for him and his faith? How do you think this one moment and even the seeing the other moments of the feeding of the 5,000, how do you think this impacted Peter? You see, he tasted something different. He experienced something more. He experienced the supernatural. He experienced that God could guide him, that Jesus could hold him, that he could experience something more than he ever had imagined. He knew that what was in front of him wasn't a limitation, that there's more that is possible. And he realized that he needed to depend on Jesus. As much as we study this and talk about this, yeah, keep your eyes focused on him, not on what's around you. Peter was the first to have been able to tell that story. When I took my eyes off Jesus, when I focused on the problems and the challenges, I got sucked right back into the current reality when Jesus was calling me for more. But you know what? He did more than walk on water the rest of his life. That wasn't the highlight. That was maybe a cool little trick, a great little story that he could talk about. But Peter experienced Jesus in supernatural ways to trust him to step out. And it wasn't the only time that he struggled in his faith. After committing to follow Jesus, to be with him every step of the way, when Jesus was arrested and was ultimately crucified and was put in the tomb, Peter's faith was shattered. And this man of great faith and courage was left hiding with the disciples, locking themselves behind closed doors. But when we read Acts, we see after the resurrection, when Peter experienced Jesus, now a much greater miracle than walking on the water, that Jesus was alive. Peter's faith came alive again. And once Jesus restored him, and Jesus and Peter affirmed, "Yes, I love you, Lord," and he began to risk his life for Jesus to proclaim boldly the message of Christ, to spread the word throughout the region and to lead the church. This courage that he had, it began, and we see it in him when he trusted Jesus and he stepped out of the comfort of the boat. Here's the thing. Faith requires getting out of the boat. Faith requires getting out of the boat. It's the definition of faith, is to do and to experience something beyond what is known, beyond what is, beyond the reality that we see in front of us. But here's the problem. The line of the boat represents the line of fear and faith. So what do you have? Do you have fear or do you have faith? Fear keeps us in the boat. Fear keeps us comfortable. But faith, listening to Jesus, him pulling us forward, that's what causes us to step out. So if you want to experience faith, you cannot stay locked in fear. You need to step out in faith. Faith only grows in unknown and uncertain experiences. That's where faith grows. That's by definition what faith is. That's the fertile soil when you put yourself out there. That's why we talk about stepping out in faith. Stepping into the unknown is to see, God, will you hold me? God, will you be true to your promises? And when we experience him there, that's where faith just grows and is nurtured. It's been a few years now for my 30th birthday. My wife wanted to surprise me, and so she made an arrangement for some plans that day for some friends to come over, and we were going to go somewhere, and they weren't going to tell me where that is. And so I got in the car, and we started driving, and we were driving for a while, and maybe half an hour, hour passed. I didn't know where we were going and what it was about, and we went through the city, and all of a sudden, we arrived at this one small little out-of-the-way airport, and I saw a sign that said skydiving. So I knew what was up. And so we got there and we started, you know, suiting up into our jumpsuits. They started telling us all about what we'd experience. We had to sign our life away 1,000 times, and they explained to us the whole procedure. Now, my wife didn't jump. She just wanted to make sure I had a large life insurance policy first, and then she pushed me out of the plane without jumping herself. No, it was a nice gift of hers and with her friends, with our friends together. But we went through all of this, and we were taking pictures and walking around with, you know, with our goggles on and pretending we were flying and jumping and the airplane in the background, and that was all great. But eventually, the call came, time to load the plane. We go up in the plane, and this rickety plane takes off and goes up thousands of feet into the air above the clouds. And when we got over the jump zone, the door opened, and it was time to jump. We are now connected to somebody. It was a tandem jump. And as we got to the edge of the door and you're seeing the earth far below you, the wind is rushing by, my jump partner, he said, "Hey, do you want to do a flip when you go out?" I said, "Sure, why not?" So he said, just fall forward. And so we did. We started leaning forward. And within seconds, we reached 120 miles an hour, the falling speed, terminal velocity with the wind resistance. And it was a violent moment. It was a... The wind is just blowing in your face. Cheeks are fluttering. It's a rush. We started falling fast, and we fell into the clouds, which felt kind of damp and humid, and we came out the other side, and it was that moment when he pulled the ripcord, and the chute opened, and we were pulled back, and then it was just this slow drift and wonderful descent. I'm watching my friends land and come down, and my heart's still pounding. Adrenaline is rushing, and it's just an amazing experience. We get down to the bottom, and then we're having conversation, and we're talking about, "Oh, man, how did you experience what happened?" And one of my friends, their goggle flipped up and over, and he was just all crazy, and just a fun experience together. When I think about this experience, and I think about fear and faith and stepping out into faith, it's a model for me of faith in Christ. So many of us, we belong to the skydiving club, but we've never jumped. We have a parachute, and we have it on our back. We have the jumpsuit on, and we have the goggles, and we look the part, and maybe we can talk the talk. We get together in weekly skydiving clubs, and we talk about the experience of skydiving. We compare different colored suits, and who has an old school suit, and who has a new suit, and who's doing some new things, and who has an upgraded plane, and maybe we even take out the parachutes, and we're fixing them. We know all the technical details of how it works. We know the history of skydiving, all these things. But the problem is, we've never jumped out of a plane. And so we walk around with like God on our back, like a backpack, the parachute of faith, saying, God's got my back. I trust in God. I know he's there for me. And I've got others that have experienced it. We've read about it. We heard it. But you yourself have never cross the threshold from fear into faith and really putting your trust in God and saying, God, are you there for me? Where you step out and you say, God, I experience you. God, I know you're there. You've come through for me. That's when faith comes alive. Not just in head knowledge, not just in stories, not just in being around it with other people, but experiencing it yourself. So many times in my life, in big ways and small ways, I've experienced God when my heart was pounding and my palms were sweating, going, God, are you there? Are you going to come through? I remember when I changed, you know, career direction, and I went from law and changed to ministry. That was a huge step of faith, a massive change of direction. I remember stepping into ministry roles. I remember when my wife and I moved across the country from Indiana to Arizona to start a church. We had a 10-month-old, and she was pregnant, and we moved thousands of miles not knowing anyone, and there was something thrilling about it, frightening and thrilling at the same time, and to see God show up. When we launched different worship services at a bar or at a golf course, not knowing, would anyone even show up? And you begin to pray, and you're saying, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to move? And then to see him move and to come through. And again, a few years ago, when the call came here from Meadow Park to move back across the country to a church over 50 years old that has had a rich tradition and wonderful ministry and leaders saying, we're looking for someone to help lead us into a new life cycle and imagine church for the next 50 years. Would you come? And taking that step and taking that trust and faith and stepping out saying, God, what are you going to do? What's possible? We don't know how you're going to work it all out, but God, we put our lives in you. We trust you. Faith comes alive in big ways. It comes alive in small ways when I talk to somebody about faith or invite them to church. I have those conversations. That's when faith comes alive. Faith is stepping out to where only God can hold you. Faith is stepping out to where only God can hold you. Again, that's the stretching of your faith. That's the leap of faith in saying, God, I leave what is known and what is comfortable. Because here, listen, Jesus leads you to experience new and exciting things. I don't read in Scripture where Jesus calls people to stay in their comfort zones, where Jesus calls them just to live a comfortable and quiet life. What does Jesus say? He says to fishermen, leave your nets, leave your boats, leave that life behind and follow me. He said to the rich, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He said to a lame man, stand up and walk. He said to Peter, come to me on the water. Yes, come. He says to all of us and to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you must lay down your life in order that you might be able to pick it up again. He tells his disciples and us everywhere, he goes, tell people about me everywhere. Go into all the world, into all the nations, and make disciples. He never calls us just to stay put. When was the last time you risked something for Jesus in faith? When was the last time you risked something for Jesus and in your faith, and you stepped out where you felt your heart pounding, going, I don't know if I can do this. God, this is crazy, and your palms are sweating. That's when faith comes alive. When you experience those moments when, and maybe it's a time where you said no, or will say no when everyone else is saying yes. You're a high school student or a college student, or maybe at your workplace, everyone else is saying yes, and you're gonna say, no, I am not gonna be a part of that. That's not who I am. I don't believe that's what God wants for my life. And other times it's saying yes when everybody else says no, and you have to go against the crowd. You're stepping out of the boat, out of the comfort zone of what's there. Because you believe in what God is calling you to do and where he is telling you to go. Faith-stretching experiences involve all kinds of things. Maybe God is calling you to write a bigger check than you ever have before. To invest in something that he's put on your heart. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's a nonprofit. Maybe it's right here at our church. Maybe it's starting a program. Maybe he's calling you to tithe. And he's saying, and I don't even have to say maybe. He's calling all of us to do that. But maybe you're going to say, I am going to do that. I'm going to give 10% of my income, and you would say, that's a faith-stretching experience. I'm going to do it every paycheck, and God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to trust you. You're calling me. I want to see the supernatural of how you're going to provide and the wonderful ways in which you're going to do that, and if you do, he will prove himself faithful in that moment. Maybe it's you, you know, you're driving along, and you've got a busy day, and you've got your plans, but there's a gut reaction. Something in you says, turn the car around. You need to go here. You need to do this. You need to buy that or talk to someone. And instead of writing it off, you say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. I don't know, this seems crazy, but I'm going to follow that spirit that seems to be speaking inside of me. Maybe it's stepping into a whole new role in ministry. Maybe you've been just attending church for a long time, and you've seen people setting up and tearing down. You've seen, you know, you've dropped your kids off in children's ministry, and your kids have been well taken care of. You see the stuff that's happening on a Sunday morning and hosts that are greeting you, and you say, you know what, it's time for me to step out of my comfort zone, out of the edge of my pew, out of the edge of my seat, and I'm going to step into a role of serving. Maybe you say, I don't know if I'm capable or qualified, but when Park Kids says, you know, we need people who are going to hold babies or we're going to help lead classes, or maybe you step and serve in our student ministry, and you're saying, I don't know if I'm qualified or able to really connect with students, but your heart's pounding, and you're taking a step, and you're saying, God, use me. I'm ready, I'm available, and you serve. Or maybe you've been in a small group for a long time and you've enjoyed that experience and you're saying, you know what, it's time for me to step into a leadership role and to start a group myself so that more people can experience belonging and community and what it means to be part of the church. Those are faith-stretching experiences. That's when you begin to come alive. When you're having a moment, maybe you're talking with a friend and you've kept the conversation at a surface level, but now you're going to take it a little bit deeper. And you ask the questions behind the question as you're having a conversation. Or maybe you're saying, you know, let me tell you a little bit about my story. Here's what faith has meant in my life. Here's how Jesus makes a difference for me. And you want to come to church with me? And you say you're willing to take that step. Because your faith will come alive. When you're sitting in church here on a Sunday morning, or you're listening, you're with a friend, and you're hearing through their ears and you're seeing through their eyes, your faith comes alive in a new way. How are you stretching your faith? What are you willing to do? Maybe in your home. Maybe dad, you know that you really should be praying with your family, or you want to pray with your family or your spouse, but you're going, man, I've never done that before, and I'm going to bumble over my words, and I'm not sure. And so you, in fear, you stay in the safety zone and you just don't do it. What if you stepped out with courage and faith and you said, you know what, you're going to gather your family around the table or just in a huddle, and you say to them, I don't know that I'm really good at this. I've never really prayed publicly or openly much, but guys, we're going to do this as a family, and I'm going to lead, and you just say what's on your heart, and you begin. Watch what God does in these moments of stretching your faith. Maybe you're here because it's the first Sunday of the year, and you made a commitment to say, I'm going to get back into church. Well, make a commitment to say, every single Sunday, every possible Sunday that I can, I will be in church because I need to get around other people. I need to encourage them. They need to see me. I need to see them. We need to connect. We need to worship together. I want to be surrounded by that. I want to get into God's word. I want to be encouraged every week, and I want to be a part of what God is doing through the local church. This is a faith-stretching experience and a reality. Take that step. What is your next step? And when I think about us as a church, I think about Meadow Park. Are we the kind of church that steps out of the boat? A church that's willing to say, I'm going to choose faith over fear. I'm going to choose the unknown over what's known and what's comfortable. I want to go where God is leading us to experience some new things that people around us and others would say, that's a courageous church. So many times I've been, when you receive letters or things from me, oftentimes I'll sign them courageous together. Because I believe that's a quality we all need as people of God, that he has called us to be people of courage in a world that doesn't accept many of the values and the standards of Christ. But we get to live those out, and we need to stand strong. And as a church, to blaze a new trail into what it means to reach this next generation and to express our faith in this time, in this day, on those eternal foundational truths that Jesus has given us throughout the decades. How do we live those out today? It takes courage. It takes boldness. It takes risks. And as I think about that for myself and where is God calling me and in my leadership here, and I realize there's moments where I've had great faith to lead us to say, let's go and take some new ground. But I also realize that there have been moments in this past year where fear has grabbed a hold of me again. What will happen? What if some people leave? What if the money doesn't come in? What if the it doesn't take off? And I can let fear grip me and take us away from our mission. And I am convinced more today than ever that God has called us to be a church that will do whatever it takes to help people experience life to the fullest in Christ. And that's going to take courage. And it's going to take forward thinking. And it's going to take us being able to say things like, we've never done that before. We've never done it that way before. You know what? Both those who have fear and faith say the same thing. They both say, we've never done it like that before. But those with faith say, so let's do it. If God's calling us to it, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's risk it. Let's go after it. We need to be courageous together. Where is God calling you to step out of the boat, to step out of your comfort, to step out of fear and into faith? Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. As we close, I just want you to take a few moments to reflect. Where has fear held you back? And as you focus on Jesus, and as you focus on him for this new year, where is he calling you to take a step of courage? Not a resolution, but simply a commitment to say, Jesus, I want to step out. I gave all kinds of examples, and maybe God's prompting one of those, or maybe something completely different on your heart. Will you have the courage to step out? I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we don't want 2020 to just be another status quo year. As followers of you, Lord, we don't want to just be people who say we've got to figure it out and now let's just keep learning more and getting together more. God, we want to do those things, but God, we want to focus on where you're calling us to. Father, I pray for those of us in the sound of my voice and in the presence of your Spirit, God, as you're prompting us, God, where are you calling us to have the faith to step out? The boldness, the courage to say, yes, God, if it's you calling me, I'm going to step out. Call me to come, and we know, God, and we hear your voice to step out. Give that courage today for someone to take that step with you. Father, as a church, we want to be a courageous church. Give us the boldness to share this great life that we have found in you with other people. Give us the courage to invite others into church or into our homes or into conversations. Give us the courage to try new things and advance and take new ground for you. God, we pray for an amazing year of blessing and life as we are courageous together. And Father, as we pray together, I know some here that are hearing this, Father, they don't have a relationship with you and maybe hearing here for the first time today saying, I want that life of faith. I want to take that step. I want to surrender to Christ. And if that's you this morning, would you just, in your heart, surrender to Jesus. Say, Jesus, here's my life. I give it to you. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year together, God, I take all my doubt and all my fear and all my uncertainty, God, and I just, in faith, commit my life to you. I surrender to you, Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins so that I could be forgiven and that I could be free to live fully for you. Thank you for giving me your life. Here's mine, Lord. Lead me. Guide me. Help me to be the person you've called me to be, to live with faith and with courage. In Jesus' name, amen.